Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Kristen was out yesterday for a funeral that clearly her family didn't want her at.
I mean, just because they didn't text us the, you know, details and we went to three different locations trying to find it. I don't know what you're talking about. They totally wanted us there.
How does this happen?
I don't know, man. You have such a way with words, by the way.
Yes, you do.
So my Uncle David passed away a little over a month ago, and the funeral was Sunday, and it was in Dayton where my dad had his services, where my Aunt Marilyn had her services. So this is on my dad's side, and he had an older brother and an older sister, and now all of three of them are passed. And he is my only uncle. My mom's an only child, and so Aunt Marilyn and Uncle David were my only blood aunt and blood uncle. And it was never any... never any hesitation that my brother and I wouldn't attend the funeral or the services. We have a lot of fond memories from when we were kids. And granted, as we got older, there are some, you know, some sides of the family that you're closer to than others. And like, because of, I think more geographically, mm-hmm. we just kind of like, we've never really kept in touch.
Is this somebody that you would see when you go to... when the families get together on holidays or anything like that, or were there like just long stretches? Where
we didn't get together on holidays. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, when my dad got married, and it's like one of those, how mothers of sons are always terrified that, when they get married, straight men, if they get married, that the wives are going to take them away to her family and you're never going to see them again. Well, that was, you know, we didn't see that family side of the family a lot. And it wasn't like a riff. It wasn't anything like bad. It just was what it was. So, he was at my wedding. So you may have seen Uncle David at my wedding. He baptized my brother's kids. So he was still a part of our life. We would see him on occasions, just not all the time. And, you know, he's a lovely man. He was eccentric. He was a character. And I said, like, there was only one David, and there will only ever be one David. He was just a very unique, kind, generous human being. So my brother and I found out by Googling Uncle David obituary where the service is going to be. So we figured out, and without hesitation, my brother's going to drive from Kentucky and I'm going to fly into the service, which, by the way, for flying into Dayton, outrageously priced flights, but whatever.
Should be paying you to fly into Dayton.
He was worth it. By the way, my flight out was at 6 a.m. on Monday. You can literally roll into the Dayton airport at 5:45 and you will be fine.
Don't you love that? Right?
A little bit.
So I get there and I'm waiting in the hotel lobby to do an early check-in so I can, you know, can get my funeral chic on because I wanted to look nice for Uncle David. And my brother comes and picks me up and we're going to drive to the funeral. So my brother just assumed it was going to be the same location as where my dad and my Aunt Marilyn had theirs. And when I say we pull into the parking lot, there is not one single car.
No.
And I'm like,
they moved the funeral last minute because they didn't want you there so badly.
So I'm looking around and I look at Morgan and like in the parking lot of a church, I go, no effing way. Are you kidding me? I'm like, could we have been wrong? So I pull up the obituary online, once again, Googled Uncle David obituary, and it popped up. I'm like, oh, it's not on Salem. It's on Denlinger. So it's just right up here. It's
across town, like 30 seconds away?
No, It is shocking how close everything is there. So we're like, okay, no worries. We go. So we go to the address that's in the obituary, and we turn in, and it's like this single-wide trailer and a small parking lot and nobody there. And I'm like, what? I'm like, we might have to contact them. Like, what is going on? And then there was another building next to it. And we're like, all right, there's one last place. We can try this. And apparently my brother had been there because that's where my uncle had gotten ordained. He was a deacon in the Catholic Church, and that's where he had his ceremony. So I'm like, I'm starting to panic a little bit. Like, one, did I just waste all this money on a flight today? This funeral is done this weekend. And two, are we going to miss this? And luckily, another man pulled in the parking lot dressed in a suit. He, too, was looking for Uncle David's funeral. And my brother and I, well, I'm his niece and this is his nephew. We have no idea where it is.
It's like a scavenger hunt funeral.
It really was. So we turn out and we go down just a little bit and turn into another parking lot. And lo and behold, there are cars.
There they are.
There are people walking into a building. And
it's somebody else's funeral.
No, it was his. It was his. It was small and it was intimate and it was just the way he wanted it.
When you showed up, were people like, now who are you?
Yeah. They were genuinely shocked to see us to a point, like, you know, and they were very, everybody was super nice and very grateful, but it was just funny because at one point I was like, well, he was my only uncle, so of course I would be here, you know? But it was a lovely, small, intimate ceremony. He made one request, another one of his nephews, his niece-in-law. He made a request of her because she was asking him, like, what do you want for the services, blah, blah, blah. And this is, like, classic Uncle David. He goes, I want... He didn't say anything about, like, the ceremony, like, nothing like that. He goes, I want a giant red velvet a cake. And on it, I want written, F off.
Like beautiful. Yeah.
So she made red velvet cupcakes for the immediate family, and they had F off written on them for everybody.
Oh, we've got to ask people to call in later on today or tomorrow on that very thing. Like, what's the most eccentric thing you saw at a funeral that was demanded by the person that passed away?
The F off cupcakes were the highlight of the entire thing.
Very good.
Yeah. But we made it, and we got to say goodbye.
The Burt Show.
So is this shady or not? Hey, Burt Show. Hope you're all having a great day so far. Let's check in. Everybody having a great day?
Good day.
Not bad at all.
It's all right. It's much better than the weekend.
Because you went to a funeral?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm hoping you'll give me your opinions on my situation. I recently met a guy out with some friends. We hit it off and have since been on about 6 dates. However, there's a pattern that has emerged, and my friends and I are both wondering if it's suspicious. He and I both live about 10 or 5 to 10 minutes apart from each other, 5 to 10, which should make dating super convenient, right? So it seems odd to me that he has insisted on having all of our dates at places that are at least 30 to 40 minutes away. It has been each and every time. At first, I thought it might be a coincidence. When I asked him why he always travels so far on our dates, he seemed to hesitate a bit. He then told me that there are no good restaurants near where we live. This seems strange because we do have quite a few restaurants around us. So do you think this is odd? Is he trying to avoid being seen with me? Or could he just be so much of a foodie that he sticks his nose up at any restaurant in the suburbs? I'd love to hear your thoughts from Ilana, 1-855-BURCHA.
I don't think this is shady at all. So I live in a part of town that's kind of away from all the cool and hip and trendy restaurants. Like the things that you see on Instagram when you're scrolling through reels and it shows you all like the fun places to sit at bars. So I don't think it's that weird. I think he just might want to take you to places that are cool and up and coming and wants to show off a little bit.
Mm. Now, this was a Sex and the City episode because Mr. Big was taking Carrie to very obscure places and she thought he was trying to hide her. But turns out he just liked the places he was taking her. Now, There's an easy way to test him here. You make a reservation at a restaurant nearby for the two of you. And if he tries to bail on it, then that's when my like spidey senses would be going off.
I was thinking the same thing because I wouldn't jump to it being shady if it wasn't six dates and each time he's going way out of his way. That feels like a bit much. If it was just kind of half and half, that'd be different. But maybe he does have another lady in his life that people see him out with, and he just doesn't want to be seen with someone else.
I'm with Mo here, man. Six dates. And it doesn't always have to be restaurants. Why I like your idea is to say, hey, let's go have a drink at blank right down the street and see if he says okay to that. But six dates, 40 minutes away, something right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's another woman and he's trying to avoid getting caught. Maybe this is just an emotional unicorn. And those places, he has memories of a past love, and he doesn't want to go there because it's going to hurt too much.
What, at the local Applebee's in the suburbs?
Yes.
But he's still gonna go back to Chili's.
But he's still going to live in that city, but he's going to eat at someplace 40 minutes away.
Exactly, because he made memories there with her, and he doesn't want to have to relive those memories because he is a sensitive unicorn.
Well, with that logic, he'd never invite her back to his place either, right? I'm sure there's some memories in that apartment.
Yeah, something here doesn't make it. It doesn't feel right. Like he's trying to hide her from something.
I mean, he could be trying to hide her from his friends. Like if his friends stick around in the same part of town, it might not be another lady. If he knows if I go to XYZ bar or XYZ restaurant, I know John and Jared are going to be out having a brewski or two. And I don't want all these questions about my new lady.
And in the Sex and the City episode I was telling you about, Carrie ran into a guy friend of hers and he was there on a date. And he told her when they went to Bed Bath & Beyond to buy some stuff that, yes, he was hiding the girl he was dating because he wasn't proud of the way she looked.
Ouch.
Oh, damn.
Yikes.
Okay.
So now you're calling her ugly?
I did not.
You phrased it that way.
She's just throwing it into the equation. It could be.
The Sex and the City episode did that.
Okay, Alana. So you have a homework assignment tonight, and it's a very easy one that Kristen has already given you.
Figure out if you're ugly.
No. Oh. Look in the mirror.
Ask 10 people today, am I ugly?
And then go somewhere local. And if he tries to squirm his way out of it, then antennas need to go on high alert.
So you either make the reservation somewhere really close to both of you guys, or just go up for a drink somewhere really close and see what his reaction is, and then hit us tonight or tomorrow morning.
By the way, TJ, Fridays does not take reservations, but we did do call-ahead seating.
Good to know. Good to know.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Matchbox 20 lead singer Rob Thomas almost ruined one of the most iconic scenes in the new Barbie flick. So I wouldn't consider this a spoiler, but I am going to describe the movie. And there's a scene where Ryan Gosling's Ken pulls out a guitar and he starts strumming and singing along to Matchbox 20's hit song, Push. And it is the perfect song for the scene without really describing what's going on. It just fits amazingly. So Rob Thomas was actually really reluctant to put it in the film. He told USA Today, he was like, there was this whole period in the 90s where they almost got kind of the Nickelback treatment, where like the bigger they got, the bigger of a target they became. And so his fear was this scene was that they were going to be the butt of the joke. And you're like, I don't really want our music to be treated that way. But honestly, like when you watch the scene, you come out of it both loving Ryan Gosling and Rob Thomas.
We had Rob Thomas in here years and years and years ago. I want to say almost 20 years ago, because that's how old my son is. He came in here and my wife at the time brought our new infant son, Hayden, in, and Rob Thomas held him through the entire interview.
Aww.
Yeah, I still have pictures of it.
I've always been a big Rob Thomas fan. Like when you asked like what music we want to play during the breaks, I was like, Matchbox 21 day. And that was what my parents always played on the way to school.
Yeah, so he was a cool dude.
Yeah. A toy collector says if you've got old Barbie dolls laying around, you better dig them out because they could be worth a very pretty penny. Obviously with the popularity of the new Barbie film, collectors are saying your old toys could be worth thousands of dollars. I'm pretty sure all my parents threw away my Barbie dolls because they're like, okay, well, this is just junk taking up space. We could have been kajillionaires.
I still have all mine, but
they aren't worth any money.
They were very well loved as a child.
Are they weird Barbie?
No, I didn't do weird Barbie. Okay. I never cut their hair. I never put makeup on their faces. Like, I was very respectful, but like I played with them. I had the Barbie dream house. I had the Barbie car. I had the Barbies. Somebody just posted a reel of old school Barbies from the 80s. And I mean, when I tell you the flood of memories that came back as I'm watching certain dolls and I'm like, oh my God, the one whose dress glowed in the dark. That one. And then the one where you had like this thing and you could put it in her hair and you like you could crank it and it twisted her hair or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I got that stuck in my hair.
Well, I don't know if you had the friend growing up, but I had this one girl that I used to hang out with all the time. And her parents would always buy her the special edition, like Christmas Barbies. And we were always so frustrated because they wouldn't let us take the Barbie out of the box because of this reason, because it could be worth a lot of money.
So if you're thinking like, hey, maybe I could sell my old Barbies now, right? Just let me give you a starting place. So the very first original Barbie in 1959.
The one that's in the black and white bathing suit?
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. In mint condition, still in the box, is now worth $27,450.
Whoa.
So that's the most you're going to get. There are others that are collectibles that can bring you a whole bunch of cash, and I'm doing the search and kind of going as they come up. The Karl Lagerfeld Barbie in 2014... you can get $11,400 for.
But again, gotta be in the box, never touched.
Right?
Can't be well loved.
Vintage Mattel Francie Barbie from 1960s. Historic because it was the first black Barbie doll ever made. Because of these, such a limited, so rare find, it'll cost you over $4,000 for that one, and that's where it all starts.
See, now I'm such a hoarder, but this is why. Like, I hope my mom's listening and not throwing away my old American Girl dolls. Like, I know they were $100 when we bought them, but like in 10 years, it could be $10,000.
Pink Diamond Barbie in 2013 just auctioned off for $15,000. Commuter Set Barbie in 1998, about $1,000. So you can make some money if you're collecting them.
I'll pay a good amount of money for somebody who has the weirdest Barbie. Like, what did you do to that Barbie, and why did it turn out that way?
That's my sister's Barbies. They was always missing a leg, missing their head. Yeah, I don't know what they did with them Barbies.
No, my Barbies, they were dating G.I. Joes, and they were living the life.
Yeah, mine were having affairs and everything. Like the Real Housewives. Shark Week producers say they caught sharks doing something they've never caught on camera before. I'll tell you the X-rated details on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Technology has now taken the guesswork out of exactly when to pee during a movie.
Really?
Yes.
What?
There's a new app out called Run Pee.
You're lying.
I am not. And it tells you the exact time, the best times to go and pee so you won't miss anything huge in the movie.
There's an app you can download on your phone called Run Pee. You just press a button when the movie starts, and then it will vibrate 30 seconds before you can make a run to the bathroom. And when you come back, it will tell you what you missed during the boring part. It'll also tell you if there are scenes after the credits and if they're worth staying for.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Of course you did.
I'm not mad at that.
Here it is. All right, so now I haven't seen Barbie yet. So not only can you set the schedule, like when the movie starts, and it'll let you know when you can pee, but it also gives you suggestions leading into it. So I don't think any of these are spoiler alerts, but he says the second pee time is the best. It's mostly a silly chase scene.
Oh, yes.
But it ends ends with the introduction of a new character. So you don't want to wait too long, it says?
Yes.
So it's the third pee time. He says it's a very long music fight montage featuring the Kens.
I would agree with that.
I enjoyed that scene.
I think it's enjoyable.
I think that's when I went to the bathroom.
Is it?
I ducked out during that period.
Has anybody in here seen Oppenheimer yet?
No.
Mm-hmm. He writes, it's a real chore to find a good pee time there. But he also writes, unsurprisingly, it's the one pee time with a montage of scenes, many of which are in the movie trailer, and he gives the exact time. And again, you start this thing when the movie starts, so when it vibrates, if you got to pee, you head to the bathroom, and there are tons of movies in here.
So there was a guy who did a viral video for Oppenheimer, and he's actually in the movie theater, and I haven't seen it, but apparently, according to this video, there is a silent moment, and if
Oppenheimer, I'm not giving anything away. It's about the atomic bomb, okay?
What?
I know, right? spoiler alert, Kristen, but when the bomb goes off, he timed it just right and he farted.
Oh, no.
And that's the only thing you could hear in the entire theater.
Okay. That is so right there down your strike zone.
Oh, man. So he did it. He waited. And as soon as it hit perfectly, he let one rip. And it wasn't a big one, but it was just loud enough. And you could hear this other guy cackling from like across the theater. I'm like, that is art.
All right, since we're talking about the Barbie movie and correct times to pee, Cassie was telling us last week that she had real anxiety going and seeing the movie, not because it was Barbie. There's a little bit of an origin story behind this.
Yeah, it just has been almost 4 years since I've been in a movie theater, and I think lately I've just been seeing more and more really negative news on social media. I mean, anytime I open anything, a Reddit thread that's just supposed to be like funny videos, it pops in there, and it always takes me by surprise and it drags me down. So, I mean, I can sit here and acknowledge that I've had an overconsumption, it feels like, of bad news, news about shootings, especially with some of the organizations I'm involved in. But it has me nervous, and I find being in crowds or crowded places make me very, very nervous. I don't like it.
Depending on your news feed, man, you could live in this echo chamber and really it builds anxiety, like you don't feel safe anywhere. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and you know, I also feel like there's an undercurrent of anger right now and people are snapping over silly little things. And so I think I've gone from, I still believe in the good in humanity. I did a pendulum swing for a while. I thought everyone is awful. I believe in the good of humanity, but I don't trust anybody. And that's just my life right now. And so I was nervous to go see Barbie, and it was great. I had such a good time. It was so nice to escape for a couple of hours. Thank you, Kristen, for the pint of rosé that you bought me.
You're
I think
welcome.
That helped a lot. That helped me get numb. But it was a good time, and it was so nice to just sit there and be like, oh, I remember what it was like to just be able to enjoy something in public without worrying. But one thing I did want to share, because I know, Abby, you had said that you have a little bit of anxiety around it, too. Mm-hmm. And some virtual listeners have reached out, and an officer reached out to me with some information that I thought was really helpful that I wanted to share with you guys, because, you know, what I talked about is logically I can understand shootings happening in a public place, even though they happen daily in the U.S. now and multiple times. At the same time, it's very still pretty slim. But you marry that with my anxiety and my OCD and logic, even though I can say that's logical, the rationale goes out the window. But what he did was give me some tools to use in case of a situation like that. So now I feel more informed and prepared, and I like that.
And this is more effective for you than like statistics, like the amount of people that would get shot in a movie theater. The percentage, I'm guessing, on that is like 0.0003. But that's not like effective to you. Having the tools to deal with your anxiety while you're in public is more effective.
Yeah, because for me, it's about control. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't control if somebody walks in and is an active shooter. I don't have a weapon. I can't control that. You know, and that scares me. And because it ends in death so often, it's not just like a minor injury, though some people luckily don't pass away from it. But so Officer JT Ware from the Johns Creek PD reached out to me, and they teach women and teen self-defense classes and also something called a CRASE class or a CRAS class, Citizen Response to Active Shooter. And these are the steps. There are three steps you can do if you find yourself in this situation. And it's avoid, deny, defend. Avoid is avoid the situation if you can. Look for multiple exits in a public setting. If something happens, get moving. Deny. If you can't get out, deny access to the room you are in. Lock doors, barricade. And the last thing is defend. So if you can't deny access and you can't avoid, prepare to fight. Look for weapons of opportunity. Pens. You can stab someone with a pen, heavy office supplies. Turn your fear into anger and go from, oh no, to, oh hell no, and go full mama bear and fight dirty to go home to those babies. That's what he writes.
For me, if I get to that third state where I have to defend, I might as well be dead.
I don't know. I'm sure.
They're going to take me out.
I'm sure your fight or flight could kick in, and you could, you know, if you have something to live for and fight for. And it sounds so simple, and I want to thank him. And Johns Creek PD, they teach these classes as well. It's just having the avoid, deny, defend, even though it seems like common sense, knowing that some professionals have put that out there and there's a game plan in place, made me feel better going into the situation, that made me feel like I have some control over it whatsoever. And I think those are the tools that people with anxiety need. So thank you so much to Officer JT Ware.
That said, would you feel more comfortable going into a movie theater now? Now that you've done it and you're sort of... You've adopted those philosophies. Now you know that they're there. Would you feel more comfortable going to a movie theater now?
I do, but yeah. I think I would still pick random times. Yeah. Honestly, like daylight matinees and stuff like that until I get fully comfortable. I'm not there yet. It's going to take some reintegration, but I definitely feel tons better. And I had so much fun with you guys, too.
It was a good time.
It was a blast.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
He is a former special ed teacher and a history teacher. This year, he is out of that category, and he's got more general classes, and he's got nothing, and he needs your help to clear his wish list.
Teachers, get all your classroom needs fulfilled right now. Burt Show, clear my wish list.
Hey, what's going on, Burt Show family? I haven't heard too many men reach out for this, but I thought I'd give it a shot. My name is Jordan McDaniels. In my fourth year, teaching high school social studies at Riverwood International Charter School is right up the road from where you guys are based. These past 3 years, I've taught special ed world history and U.S. history, but this year will be a little bit different for me. Teaching special ed, most of your days are pushing into another teacher's class, so I never really had a classroom of my own. And with that, I've never had to have my own supplies or my own posters or anything like that. So this year, it'll be different because I'm teaching general education. So I'm going from having classes with 8 to 12 students to having classes with 25 to 30 students. Now I won't be pushing in and using supplies for other teachers. I'll be responsible for my own. Now with my wife being an elementary school teacher, my daughter started her first year in kindergarten. I know it's going to take a lot of money. I'm going to be spending a lot of money this year before school starts. Any little thing could help. Honestly, I love to be able to be helped by this great, great program you guys have going on. I'm excited for my new journey. Again, thank you guys for what you do. Have a great day.
Because we believe in equality, we cleared Mr. McDaniel's wife's list. The least we can do is clear his list. And he's the first dude to call in. So let's hook him up. So Jordan McDaniel's, his list is up online at theburtshow.com.
So we have heard of couples therapy. You're having problems in your relationship. You go to a therapist for that, right? Family therapy. Go to a therapist for that. I've even heard of business partners that weren't getting along, but you guys are doing business together every single day. So business partners go to therapy also. But if you're having tension with a friend, do you go to a therapist for that? Or is that just too high maintenance and just lose the friend?
Can we please throw it out to anybody who's done friend therapy? Because I can honestly say I've never heard of anybody doing this. Don't know anybody that's done this.
1-855-BIRCHO. Katie.
And this is why I need to know if I'm weird or not.
You are.
Because, really?
No, I'm just kidding. Just come right out with it.
Right.
Everybody in this room is weird. You don't get into radio unless you're weird.
That's true. But I'm I'm trying to figure out how to best protect my friendship with my best friends. So there's three of us, and we've been the best friends that anybody can have since we graduated from college. Before college, actually. And like any relationship, there's highs, there's lows. There's been days where we haven't spoken to one another. There's been a moment where it was like months. And then we've all, you know, gravitated, come back together, and we speak just about every day now. Some people may find that weird. I do not still.
You talk on that phone a lot, man, because you're on there with your mom also, right? Your aunt every day and your friends every day.
Yep.
In between your 7-hour nap and working.
Exactly.
I mean,
no time for yourself.
That is time for myself. That's me time to me.
For those of you that don't know, Katie takes a nap right before she goes to sleep for the night.
So I've come back. My 4-hour naps are now 2 hours.
Now, your nap is me time, but when you're talking on the phone, that is not me time, because it involves another person.
Really?
Yes. I feel me time. Me time is like
just yourself.
Yes. Okay. Like that's friend time, which is very important, but me time should not involve anybody else.
Okay, well, I don't have a lot of me time.
Okay.
But I know that with our friendship, we're good for the majority of us. Like 80% of it, it's good. But there are things and situations that have come up where we've just either tried to address it briefly or swept it under the rug. There's one best friend who's upset another best friend where she always feels like she has to prove herself. And we may briefly talk about it and then say, you know what, drop the situation and let it go. But eventually over time, it becomes an underlying problem that we just refuse to address because we're like, is it really worth it? Is it worth going back and forth over this? I think it is. So that in the long haul, we don't explode on each other, because we've had moments like that where we'll just build up something, sweep it under the rug until it comes up again, and then we'll explode on one another. So the best way I thought was maybe if there's a professional that can actually sit all three of us down and we go to like friend therapy.
Oh, you need a mediator.
Yeah. But isn't that therapy? Isn't that what therapy is?
Therapists can absolutely be mediators.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this idea, but therapy is so expensive. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if people have done this before, but you're really like investing a lot of money into this.
You know what's hard? Marriage is hard. Okay. That's where I want to put my energy if I'm going to go see a therapist. You know what? Me getting rid of my personal demons, that's really hard. Changing is really, really hard. The one relationship I really want to be easy and not have to worry about having to go to therapy are my friendships. Yes. If that friendship is so high maintenance that I am thinking about dedicating time to go to a therapist, I am losing that friendship. But that's just me.
Maybe I've just never had a friendship that was that deep. But I don't think I would. I'm with you. If like my friendship caused us to have to go to therapy, I don't think we would be friends anymore.
Same. Like I've said this, and this is very common. People come into your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime, right? And like I value my friendships, and they are very important to me. My girlfriends, like I feel no matter how old you are, you should maintain those relationships, and you should work on those relationships and keep those lines of communication open. But the idea of having to go to therapy with my friends. If we're at that point, we probably just need to take a break for a while.
But how is it any different than family therapy? So, yes, we're friends and we're best friends, but I look at them just like as my sisters. Well, they're going to be in my life forever.
Family, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck with your family.
I think it's a testament to actually how deep-rooted your friendships are. And so I think the fact that you even are thinking about it shows just how deeply you care about them and that you want them to be more in your life for longer than just a season.
I need my friends to be my therapist. I don't need to have to go see a therapist with them.
Yes. Everything's it's so hard. Life is so hard anyway. I think you should be able to lean on your friends and not have to have that stress. And if it's too stressful, man, just bail on.
What would you do if like you have a guys group and you're really close with these guys? If one of the dudes in the group was like, hey man, I feel like something's off with our friendship. I'd like to go to therapy together. What would you do?
I say, well, let's drink first together and see if we can handle it that way. No, man.
What about the friend you just married, Kennedy?
Oh my God, I would love it if she would go to therapy with me. Mainly because then I could go to therapy for free and that would be great. But I think sometimes you do need a mediator. And if you can afford it, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Let me ask you guys this question, separate but also in the same vein. Should your marriage be the easiest, or the person that you're dating, should that be the easiest relationship that you have?
Your marriage?
Your marriage.
No, I don't think it's going to be the easiest because that's the person you're with the most and you spend the most time with. Marriages shouldn't be a job, but they are work. So I feel like that's the relationship that you have to work the hardest at. So I don't expect it to be easy, but I also expect it to be the most rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree? In a committed relationship, should that be the easiest relationship that you have? Or should it be the one, or is it the most difficult?
I would say it's probably the most difficult. It's the person you spend the most time with, the person you care about the most. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the person you're probably most passionate about, so they affect you in a different way. So I would think that a significant other would be the hardest relationship you have.
I think a marriage would be the hardest because they've been in your life the longest and you have to make the most compromises with them. Whereas like Katie, it sounds like you've been friends with these girls for a really long time. So like, let's say it's been a decade. I mean, that lasts a lot longer than some people's marriages and some people's relationships. Sure. So it's no shock to me that you might need a couple of issues to work through in therapy.
Tommy, I want to get your take on this. For a dude that's been married over 20 years here, the way I look at you and Renee is that that's an easy relationship. No?
Yeah, I mean, it is, because we know each other so well, and we've been together so long. We've kind of gotten into our groove, but I mean, there are moments. It is like my fault.
Is it the easiest relationship you've ever had, is your marriage?
It's the luckiest relationship I've ever had.
Aw, this is really sweet.
And that's why you've been married so long.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Shark Week biologists say they have footage of sharks doing something they've never done before on camera.
The salsa.
Having sex.
Oh, they caught them doing it? They never caught sharks doing it on camera?
Not pajama sharks, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So if you didn't know, it's a type of shark, apparently. If you didn't know, Shark Week is happening all week long on the Discovery Channel, hosted by the one, the only Aquaman, Jason Momoa. But one of the biologists on the production team for a show called Alien Sharks. They told TMZ that they were having like the worst day of filming ever. It was cold. They were on like their 30th day of filming. Just not prime filming conditions, right? So they weren't really expecting to see much. And then all of a sudden, they stumbled across the pajama sharks doing the horizontal tango. Sounds just like a human reproduction. Very spicy.
Shark porn, man.
It's definitely a weird subcategory.
And it's so Jimmy. Ever since I took him to the aquarium, he's obsessed with all things ocean and sea. So we've been watching an insane amount of Blue Planet lately. So whenever these biologists and marine biologists are able to catch any animal mating, it is a huge deal.
So you know the male's junk is called a clasper.
A clasper. Clasper.
And females, I don't know how to pronounce it, C-L-O-A-C-A.
Cloaca.
Cloaca?
There you go.
The cloaca.
And the clasper.
It's classy.
And I'm not exactly sure which whale this is, but I do know that there is a species of whales that mate when they both breach out of the water, and then it's done by the time they get back in the water.
What? So,
like, he's able to slip it in that quick?
Dude's got skills.
That's
a record.
Right? And not only that quick, but to have that kind of aim.
Dude's
flying
got
through the air.
Skills makes your man look terrible, doesn't it?
Like, imagine two humans flying through the air and then just like, done.
Yeah, me and Cassie have read about that in our fairy books.
She jokes, but it happened.
I know, like literally. So if you want to watch the alien sharks doing the do, it's going to be in a show called Alien Sharks, Strange New Worlds. And viewers will get a chance to learn all about these new animals that you probably never heard of before. Mm-hmm. Okay, Twitter is freaking out over the news that Carly Russell admitted to the fact that she was not kidnapped. I've got intern Kayla in the studio here with me to chat about this, because not only did her lawyer say that she admitted to not being kidnapped, but now it looks like the repercussions are a lot more than just legal trouble. So her now ex-boyfriend released a statement on social media saying, "I was made aware of the false narrative after coming to the defense of my ex, Carly Russell. Myself and my family's nature was to react in love and genuine concern. We are disgusted from the outcome of this entire situation. I strongly feel exactly like you all, blindsided with Carly's actions."
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, like, the story sounded fishy to me from all along, but I wanted to have this slither of hope that this was come out and some part of it would be true. So when it wasn't, it was just like,
to me, the biggest takeaway from all of this is, like, we have been set back just another 10 years, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But the progress that we've made with missing women, especially missing black women in particular, like, it's just really tragic. And I really just hope that she gets the mental help she needs, because I feel like this is definitely a cry for help.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine who's black. See, Mo, I have another black friend. that's why I have an NAACP.
That's how you do
I
that.
I got two black friends.
It takes two.
I was asking him what the difference was in this case, because as Mo said last week, that a lot of black children are abducted and they just don't get a lot of news, a lot of attention. So this was, I don't want to say celebrated because it was such a tragic thing to happen, but the fact that it was garnering this kind of attention was a really big deal.
It's a
right?
Huge deal.
Huge mm-hmm. deal. And I asked him why, and he said that a lot of big time pastors and church groups really got involved in this one and forced the media into garnering some attention on this one. So all these pastors and all these churches really put their reputations on the line. And for that kind of trust to be
broken.
Yeah, broken. It's just, it's heartbreaking on a whole bunch of different levels.
I was impressed that the lawyer came out and she admitted that it was a hoax, because I don't feel like you get that often. Like, they're going to try to hide it for as long as they can.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point you kind of had to, but it is nice that it wasn't an admission there. But it's just such a dangerous thing to do, and to waste all of those resources and to give people who do not want to support the black community another excuse not to. All of those things make you realize that it is a setback and how big of an issue it really is.
Do you think because she's a woman of color, she's like, oh, well, these stories never go viral because they're always, you know, pushed to the side. Mm. I can do, like, she had no idea that it was going to blow up the way that it is.
Like, that's it even surprised her.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, it's just so unfortunate. And, you know, like I said, she needs some, get some help.
Mm. For more stories, head to thebertshow.com. Click eBuzz.
Get it. The Bert Show.
I do appreciate when companies take a look at the tradition of working 9 to 5, you know, 5 days a week, and they look at it and they're like, you know what, maybe that worked back in the day, but nowadays things are different, so maybe we should do something different. There are some companies now that have been experimenting with 4-day work weeks. Yay! Right? And here's another trend that is starting to happen right now that hasn't taken off just yet, but people are starting to dabble in it. It's working 9 to 5 in solid chunks just doesn't work as much. So instead now, people are working until late afternoon, then they're skipping out early, then they're taking an extended break, and they're logging back in before they go to bed to finish up. So I don't know if this works or not, but let me explain. So the term for it is called a triple peak day, because there are 3 different times when productivity spikes now. There used to be 2 peaks, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Now there's a third one around 10 o'clock. So basically, people are using their flex hours to leave work early. You go ahead, you beat the traffic, or you go and you pick up your kids, and then they're logging back on at home before bed to finish a project or deal with, like, leftover emails or anything like that. So would you be into it or not?
I kind of already do that. It's not 10 p.m., but it's 8 p.m. So after, you know, we do here and have our post show and then go off and do our thing, and then after I put Jimmy to bed, I, at 8 o'clock, get back on and, like, finalize stuff or mm-hmm. send emails or, you know, finish up a project or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think because we do what we do and we start so early, we kind of fall into this category yeah. accidentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, like, that would work, because I don't know what it is about, like, the hours of, like, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. I don't know if it's just because, like, that's when I'm not eating and all I can, mm-hmm. I'm, like, thinking on, like, an empty stomach. But those are the hours where I feel like I can't get anything done. So I feel like it makes a ton of sense.
I think this is great for the average working person, because I know there are a lot of times when you can't do a lot of things because of the fact that work is, like, the entire day. So a lot of the chores, a lot of the things with the kids you can't do. So it's like this opens up an opportunity for mm-hmm. you to have a window to do it and then still get your work done by the end of the day. I can see how management doesn't love it, but I think it's good for people.
Well, you know, like biohackers and scientists now are saying your mind doesn't work like this, like just working 8 straight hours or whatever, 9 hours with 1 hour break. It doesn't work like that. Like, you should be taking 10-minute breaks every hour, is the most effective way to do it. Management doesn't love this idea, though, because they say it delays everything. And if they send someone an email at 3:30, then they might not hear back for 7 hours. And if they schedule a meeting at 4, half the staff is already gone.
What I love about this, though, is that I saw a comparison recently, and you know, like if a whale is kept in captivity, like the fin flops over sort of thing, and they're miserable because they're not in the right environment. And someone goes, well, look at humans. This is not the environment that we're supposed to live in naturally. Mm. We're not supposed to be confined to a cubicle for a 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. No wonder there's so much like depression running rampant and people are unhappy because we're not in a natural quote unquote habitat. Right. So allowing those breaks and to have more of a flexible schedule that suits how your brain works, I think is great. And you're going to see happier workers because of it.
I love it. All right. So let's get into this email here because he lives a long ways away, right? And she was thinking that, hey, not really sure that he's so involved that he would even care if I want to change our kid's last name.
First, I want to clarify that my desire to change my son's last name wasn't intended to erase my ex-husband's identity from his life, but to symbolize the unified family that my son, my current husband, and I are. I believe this change would help my son feel like he's more a part of the family structure that we've built together. However, I've taken into consideration that my son may one day want to have a deeper relationship with his biological father, and having shared a last name might be important to him then. However, I also think that as years go on, his bond with my current husband will grow deeper and deeper, and having his last name may also be important to my son.
We're going to throw another however in there. Mm-hmm. However.
Lots of howevers. Lots of hypotheticals.
All that said, given the current situation and my ex-husband's negative reaction, I've decided not to pursue a legal name change for my son right now. I've come to realize that escalating this issue could cause unnecessary tension and stress, not just for the adults involved, but for my son as well. My goal is, and always has been, to protect him and create a positive and peaceful environment for him to grow up in. But I have discussed this with my current husband, and we've decided to use my son's proposed new last name in our daily lives informally. This way, he gets to experience the unity and bond of sharing the same last name without the legal hassle or the risk of upsetting his biological father. Maybe we will revisit in a couple of years, and if my son decides later in life on his own that he wants to make this change legally, we will support his decision fully.
This sounds confusing if I'm the child.
Really?
Sounds real confusing.
Well, nothing should be confusing right now because they're not going to do anything. Everything's going to stay as is.
No, she said that. They're going to start using the new hubby's last name, current husband's last name, informally around the house. So dude's not going to know what his last name is, really.
But when do you use your child's last name around the house?
Only when he's in trouble.
That is true.
You get that full government name.
Oh, then it's going to backfire. Anytime he's in trouble, he's going to be called, you know, yeah, John Smith or something. And he knows if he's up to something bad, he gets called that last name.
I remember being a kid and wanting to change my name for a while because my entire family had a different last name than me. But as I got older, my name was such a part of my identity that I feel like I would have regretted it had I changed it then. I don't think they should mess with it.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you would informally use the new last name around your kid. I don't even see how the kid would be aware of a change like that.
Maybe they just mean like when they send out Christmas cards, like sending it from the Smiths and kind of including him in that sort of without explicitly saying something. But yeah, it does seem weird that they are going to use this last name around the house. How bizarre.
Right. It's going to be confusing, I think, for the kid.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Hi, Cassie. Am I the a-hole? That is the question. Is she the a-hole for not allowing her maid of honor's boyfriend to come to her wedding? Not allowed to come.
I'm 29, and I've told my sister and maid of honor, who is 28, that her boyfriend is not allowed to come to my wedding, and she is furious. Because I told her no, she has responded by not coming to my bachelorette or bridal party, and she's not been active at all in the wedding process. She thinks that I'm being an unfair a-hole, as other people are bringing partners that have been together for a shorter time than her and her boyfriend. Here's the deal. My sister has been with her boyfriend for about 8 months, and they've traveled together and basically lived together, and she is sure she's going to marry this guy. Thing is, when they met, she was already engaged to her partner of 10 plus years, whom all my family loved deeply. She met her new boyfriend at work. She was engaged. He was married. Essentially, they both had affairs and left their partners to be with each other. I've met this guy and I don't like him at all. One, he's still married and he's in the process of divorcing his wife. We've all heard that before. Two, I had an honest conversation with him asking his intentions with my sister and why he ended it with his wife. His excuse was that his previous wife, quote unquote, forced him into the relationship and he didn't know love was real until he met my sister, which sounds like immature, manipulative BS to me. Three, his values are completely different than my sister's, which I believe opposites attract, but on fundamental things that I know my sister feels passionately about, she seems to have made herself smaller and more agreeable with some crazy views. Example, he believes lower class people cannot be trusted. And the odd thing is that he demands a specific kind of thing in the bedroom from my sister, who happily obliges, even though I know she thinks it's disgusting. You want to know what the bedroom thing is, don't you?
No, I know what it is. She's not good at it anyway. She doesn't like if she thinks it's disgusting.
Oh, wait. I thought you were talking about like the back door.
I was too.
No, it's
snorkeling?
No, it's like a precious metal if it showered from the sky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
A precious metal would be gold.
Oh.
Okay. No, I thought it was something very
which,
different.
Not to shame, but she knows her sister thinks that's gross. So is she the a-hole for not allowing her sister, who is her maid of honor's boyfriend, to come to her wedding?
I think if he likes that kind of thing, then he doesn't get a say in anything in their life at all.
That is not true. No, I think she's an a-hole.
Yeah?
For not inviting, for not allowing. If this is your sister. You don't agree with her choices, so be it. You don't like the way they met. You don't like him, whatever. But that's her partner, and that's who she's chosen. And what? What?
I was just thinking, if I know that about somebody, that's the only thing I would think of when they were around.
Me too. Absolutely.
My brother doesn't know anything about my sex life, and right. I don't know anything about his.
Of course not.
That's weird.
Now, granted, maybe it's different if it's the same sex. Like, maybe brothers know or sisters know, but I don't want to know the bedroom activities of my sibling.
Right.
I think it's different if it's sisters.
Okay, anyway, she's still an a-hole for not letting him come because that's her boyfriend and that's her guest. She's your maid of honor. You chose her as her maid of honor, and now she gets to bring who she wants.
I agree. You may not agree with their choices. I don't know why you have as much information as you do.
That is very weird to me.
But, I mean, that's your sister's boyfriend. That is her decision. If you invite one, you have to let her bring who she wants.
As somebody who is currently a maid of honor in somebody's wedding, if they told me I couldn't bring a plus one after all the work that I've done for you, I don't care if he's golden showering her or not. Let me bring him. Let me bring him to the wedding. And if you know what I mean? Like if they break up, they break up. But
I feel like that's part of the rules also. Like if they're that close to you and they're going to be working that much for you during the wedding, I think that you should be able to bring whoever that you want.
It's the only consolation after having to deal with the group chat and then the Facebook group and the planning. Let her bring him.
No way. He's not coming to my wedding.
No.
Because I have people at my wedding that I just don't have the best relationship with anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't then either. And they're out of like the sphere of lives. I'm trying to be very vague right now. And just looking back at the pictures and stuff, it puts a damper on it.
How many people did you have at your wedding?
100.
So if you have 100 people at your wedding or in any like party or anything, there's no way that you're going to like every single one of 100 people that are going to be there.
I did at my wedding. It was very intimate and we like chose people who were very close to us. We didn't have strangers come. I think there was like one person I didn't know and that was like on Chad's side. So we really knew everybody who came to our wedding and it was really special for that reason. And here's the thing, if it were like some rando guest, whatever, but in this instance, it's like the maid of honor's boyfriend. Like he's going to be in the inner circle the entire time. So the whole time you're trying to celebrate your wedding, you got to look at this mofo who's still married, who's shacking up with your sister.
I had people at my wedding that I didn't want to be there, but it didn't faze my day.
Okay, quick question. Before we get out of here,
I'm not telling you who I didn't want to be there.
No, of course not. Of course not. How many people deep would you have to go on a party before you're inviting people that you're not really down with? Would it be 20? Before? Would it be 30? Would it be 40? How many?
I don't like a lot of people, man. 10, 15 people.
I'm about 20 in before there's somebody at that party that I'm not really 100% down with. Yeah. It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.